Something that you're sort of a patron of that particular venue, and you were there, and I heard you were there, and came backstage, and I was very excited that you were in the audience. These roots, you know, that goes right back to what you were doing. Early on, and
you were too. I mean, you loved Dizzy.
I loved Dizzy.
And Charlie Parker.
Yeah, I loved you. And Monk, and you know, Ted Dameron, the big one. See, I used to go to 52nd Street.
When you were a kid?
Yeah, you know, I had a phony ID card because I wasn't old enough to get into some of the, you know, club, the Spotlight Club, you know. I mean, it was unbelievable to see Dizzy's big band out there on stage.
Well, were you playing at that time?
You know, I first got really into music because I hated it. And when I started, and my mother made me take lessons.
Oh, really?
I didn't
like it.
I mean, it was like somebody had a gun pointed at my head. Because I came home from school and my mom would say, okay, you have to practice now. And I said, I want to go out and play with my friends. And if you are, then you can go out.
Oh, yeah.
That was...
No.
I was really in my early teens, maybe 11, 12. You know, I was a pretty singular kid. I was an only child, so having to come home from school and practicing in this, it's a solitary thing.
But you must have suddenly decided, you must have made a switch in your head, you suddenly liked it, because all these songs were
playing. Yeah, but there were no songs at the time. They were just playing Claire de Lune or messing it up in a children's recital. And, just unbelievable stuff, you know. And I got interested a little bit in popular music. I'd listen to the Harry James Big Band and the Dorsey Brothers Big Band. And I got very kind of into letting myself be taken with my mother and father to these restaurants in New York. There were restaurants with a band playing. I was fascinated by the way the drum sets, the mother of pearl drum sets, and all the cymbals and all, and you know, they got me a set of drums, and I couldn't keep time with the radio. You'll notice today when we play something together, my time will be pretty terrible, but you know. Sure, I need to pick up this word. Yeah, well, why don't we play, Alfie, I heard you play that the other night in a concert, and it was thrilling. And I'd do it in B flat.
Okay.
Is it just
to do.
That was fun. My goodness.
But
you just go right there. Brilliant.
I guess I played Alfie ever since the movie came out. That's what goes, you know, the night.
But there's an interesting way to write that song that came with, as I've done with Hal David in the past. The lyric basically was written first. But I don't think it would have, and I not worked with a lyric first in that case, because it had to really relate to what happened in the movie, what the story was about in the movie, and somehow give me a lyric. And I said the lyric. I'm never falling in love. I'm going to do it that way. And we go right to the downbeat and say, I'm never falling in love again. That's what it's worth. And sometimes you can say, I'm never falling in love again. Please.
Don't
let
you
see that.
I'm
never falling in love again. There's an intro that I
Thank you.
would do it ever. Oh, God. I mean, just...
Well, I just love that song. And maybe you can see it. It's really good.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you can go back to where you were. You did a lot of work in that first opinion. You saw the rest of your interest as you were really young when you started.
Well, I was, but you know, I think what nailed my interest, you know, because again, we're at the stage where I hated taking piano lessons and hated practicing. That was certainly in high school. And I do remember my mother coming in my bedroom at the bedtime, and she said, "Look, you know, your dad and I, we've been just battling. Day in, day out, month in, you know, with a piano with you, and you just seem resistant, you don't want to do it." And she said, "I'm giving you your choice, you can stop now. I mean, you want to stop, it's fine." And she went out of the room and I thought, free. I'm free at last. I don't have to come home from school and practice the piano now. I can go out and play with the few friends I've got. And I thought, I can't do this to my mother. The guilt started to set in. The guilt did set in. And the next morning I said, I'll continue on. And thank God for that moment. Thank God, she said, you know. Well, yeah, but then see what happened. I continued playing. Then we had a little band in high school. There were a couple of us that played, and that was a good way to do something after school with a guy who played lousy saxophone. And we put a little band together, maybe played at the community center. It was interesting. It was fun. At least you got to meet some girls that way, you know. In school. Well, I was very shy. I really was. As far as tells, Long Island. No, I was born in Kansas City, left when I was 1 year old. So I don't remember it at all. You know? Except it's very interesting. I'm going back to Kansas City not that long ago, sometime within the last 10 years. To conduct the Kansas City Symphony, yeah. And you know, I started talking about being born there, and my father worked for Wolf Brothers. And it's very emotional. It kind of touched me on stage, which is kind of caught me off guard. With the symphony?
Yeah.
I played Boys and Lovers, played, I'm sure we played This Guy's in Love with You. I see. Which one do you want to do? Let's do This Guy's in Love with You. Okay. All right. Okay. Do we need an intro?
You want to make one?
Yeah. I mean, always. See, I'm so conditioned to having made it with Herb Alpert, you know, and with Dion.
Right.
And always started the same way. Two-bar intro. That's why it was really fun making this record with Ron Isley, because we got into a whole different thing. Thank you. kiss goodbye. You see the sky. You see the sky. This guy's in love with. This principle that you know, I should be in touch with my music every day. There are some days there's just not time, and I've got two little kids now. It's not as important for me. Yeah, it's not as important for me to try myself. Well, I try to. As much as I can tolerate what I have to keep up with. There's a lot of music out there that I'm not going to be. I mean, we wrote an Isley album that I did, which were basically all a lot of the older songs and two new songs. We did Alfie, we did House Is Not a Home in there. This was a tremendous kick for me to work with him because it made me rethink. I mean, when he said he wanted to do Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, I thought, oh no, man, I can't do this song because I mean, there's one way. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I've done it, but I had a soul singer, a really soulful singer like Ronnie Isley, and I said, like, Ronnie, I mean, we can't. He said, well, just try it. And I know what key. He said, and you know, he said, just play the chord. And I think it was an F we did it. But then, and he's just saying, raindrops keep falling on my head, they keep falling on my head. But that lonely house. I mean, you know, suddenly, two bars, I knew, well, I can make this a totally different, very soulful record. You know? I can make it a very R&B oriented record.
Well, is that what you wanted to be?
Oh, yeah. So I loved it.
Listen to it. I would love to just play that. Sweet.
Which one? Raindrops?
Raindrops.
I'd love to hear you play Raindrops.
Okay.
Bravo.
It's brilliant. I'm really loving Marianne because you see, you take a song like that, you play a song so tastefully. I have this problem with misplaced expectations with my music with jazz artists. I think in a way I'm responsible for maybe having music that's a little restrictive. But you see, you just get some a breath of air in a sense of what, how does music could be really played. I mean, you know, I remember Sinatra recording Wives and Lovers with a Basie band, and Quincy Jones produced it, and they played it for me. And I was really disappointed, because it was in four. And that song was, little girl, too big, it's stiff in four. It doesn't belong in four. It's a little girl, a little light, start the music. It's still going for. It's still going for. Except there was one thing that I had written in three, and never thought of it in four. But Luther Vandross did What the World Needs Now is Love in four. And it was kind of very exciting, but it was very soulful, and it was a very R&B kind of feel in the background, you know.
Well, it worked
the whole thing. The way it played.
Come on, let's do it the way it played.
Okay.
Four more in show.
Thank you. I thought at one time, this is what I wanted to do, you see, because, you know, gravitating towards that music, that was what got me interested in music. Particularly Dizzy and Charlie Parker, you know, and I heard this music, it was like somebody opened the window, breath of fresh air, and I heard what you were doing, you know, and I heard what Mark was doing. He was a little out there for me, you see, but the Modern Jazz Quartet, they were a great little cerebral to me, but, you know, it made me then trigger a desire to care about music and get involved. So I was into it then, and, you know, I studied, and then I got into classical music. I studied with Darius Milo, out of the music I knew. Henry Cowell and Bohuslav Martinů, the Czech composer. And, I was going to John, hanging out with John Cage and Lou Harrison, and so, you know, my appetite was whetted for music, but I guess at core, I was supposed to be a pop composer. What did I learn from Darius Milo? He said, never feel embarrassed or ashamed by something that's a good melody. So I never forgot that. And I, that gave me permission to write serious music. So Milo taught me not to be ashamed to write something melodic that people could whistle, could remember, a tune, something pretty.
And that's what you've been doing. Oh, you see, this is a step back crack. From all the information about the contest, and what you see here is performed on today's program, this is our website, thepianojazz.org. Our program is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. The contributions of the piano is made on Piano Jazz. I'm going to the problem. This is Piano Jazz from NPR. Like, fortunate to be a place something.
I would love.
Now, the whole is inside the
That's the most selling thing. This is totally unprepared.
So I'm going to think of you and visit you and talk to you and see what comes out.
Beautiful. I've got to come to New York, back east, and just learn some new chords from you. They're great.
Oh, some of the greatest chords, almost at the concert last summer. And you, some of the things you played, great chords, and you really put things together with an orchestra. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Who are you more than that? My guess is very popular. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Hannah Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ATV Radio. I'm running the program and this is Hannah Jazz from NPR on the web at hannahjazz.org. It's you by yourself. Don't you do it all? Would you do it?
Yeah, I could do that. There is a song that I wrote a number of years ago with Hal David, 30 plus years ago. And I really forgot about it. It wasn't a hit. It wasn't very well known. But after 9/11, I kind of took the song out and started doing it in concerts. And The Windows of the World.
Oh, I love the words.
Yeah, they're wonderful words that Hal wrote. The windows of the world are covered with rain.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's ironic, isn't it, that the restaurant on top of the Twin Towers is called The Windows of the World.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I started doing a song at the end of the show as an encore after 9/11. It's very tough and nice to get through. Yeah. Even in Europe, this summer I did. Yeah.
What's coming up?
Well, I'm working on an instrumental album, taking some chances, some risks. New stuff. New things. New music. And, I've been to Vegas 3 times in the coming year. I do. I've worked on the symphonies. We all have played with the Honolulu Symphony and then the Dallas Symphony, Atlanta Symphony in this coming year. I don't know how to do anything that I didn't write. I've got it down to a mode. But I play as much as we can get in, about an hour of concert with a symphony, and you gotta be careful, you never want to run a symphony into overtime. Not in these times when they're really struggling, so you wanna keep it to an hour and a half, and I give the people as much music. We have to do a lot of things in medley form. It's not hard doing concerts for you or for me. It's the getting there, and it's really tough. Yeah, and it's getting to yet another hotel. It's a lot of place. But, I'm trying to just keep the concerts anywhere from 30 to 35 a year. And so whatever got me on stage in the first place was the writing, and that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'd love to do anything with you. I wish you'd do an album of my music, because you would do such a beautiful, tasteful job. And as I said to you before, I have not really heard my music executed from a jazz artist the way I would hoped. And I think he would be the one.
That's very nice. Thank you. Well, that's so good to go.
That's too close to you, girl.
It's gotta be the last to you, but
it is.
You've got so many dreams, man.
We haven't done enough, man.
Well, okay. I'll tell you, other guys do do a bona fide jazz version.
Can't imagine it.
Okay.
That's great. Close to you.
Thank you.
I love doing that, man. Oh, God. I wish you could do it more often.